Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Well, a lot going on today.
Wow.
I want to tease the bottom of the hour. We're going to have a couple of guys on who are promoting the Convention of States. There are some people who oppose it, and we're going to have them on, I think, next week. But want to hear what they're doing in Colorado. But first, the big news. Drum roll.
Ken Buck. It's gone.
That's right. Ken Buck announcing today that he is not going to run for re-election.
And he announced it on Andrea Mitchell's MSNBC show. And it's going to be, we'll play some of his video that he did for it.
I mean,
but it composed mostly of trashing Republicans.
So Ken Buck, who's been kind of toying around with, first he was going to quit, then he wasn't going to quit, then he was going to quit. In the meantime, he's decided, I am going to just annoy and make angry every single Republican that I can out there before I go. And Dave Williams said after the bizarre voting record where Kevin McCarthy and he won. I mean, it was just crazy. Dave Williams, the state party chair, said that he, and I don't think he had any particular inside information. I think he was just saying, I don't think he's going to run. The writing's on the wall. He doesn't anybody. We are waiting for, this is going to be great, guys. Trent Lisey, who we had on the show last week, but after he announced that he was going to primary Ken Buck, because Ken Buck was betraying everybody, is going to be joining us. He, though, just got off the ground, He was on his way to Mar-a-Lago.
From
meetings with Donald Trump when this announcement came in that Ken Buck wasn't going to run again. So as soon as he gets to a place where he can call in, he's going to call in. But in the meantime, so first I'm going to play, listen to this Ken Buck. Rather than just coming to the district and saying, I love everyone in Colorado.
I appreciate all you. And we've had disagreements that, of course, as you always do, but I'm always in your hearts and minds.
Blah, blah, blah. And we love our country.
You're always mine.
Right. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't. He went on MSNBC. And then proceeded to release a statement trashing erroneously. It's not even like he's trashing him for real things, right? He's trashing him for wrong things. So if we could please play Thomas the Buck video.
After careful consideration and much prayer, I have decided not to seek a sixth term in the U.S. House of Representatives. To the people of Colorado's 4th Congressional District, thank you for sending me to Congress. I'm grateful for your support as we have fought against the left's policies that have had real-world consequences, defunding the police, politicizing student loans, provoking inflation with excessive spending, creating open borders, decimating our domestic energy production. Americans are rightfully concerned about our nation's future and are looking to Republicans in Washington for a course correction. But their hope for Republicans to take decisive action may be in vain. Our nation is on a collision course with reality, and a steadfast commitment to truth, even uncomfortable truths, is the only way forward. Too many Republican leaders are lying to America, claiming that the 2020 election was stolen, describing January 6th as an unguided tour of the Capitol, and asserting that the ensuing prosecutions are a weaponization of our justice system. These insidious narratives breed widespread cynicism and erode Americans' confidence in the rule of law. It is impossible for the Republican Party to confront our problems and offer a course correction for the future while being obsessively fixated on retribution and vengeance for contrived injustices of the past. This trend among Republicans is a significant departure from the enduring principles of conservatism. We belong to the party of Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan. Our movement has always been fueled by immutable truths about human nature, individual liberty, and economic freedoms.
What? So we treasure, I mean,
there's 20 seconds of criticizing Democrats and then a minute of tracking him.
It's
insane.
Well, once again, and trashing him for, I mean, even the polls show most Americans, a vast majority of people think that there were shenanigans, and that's putting it mildly, in the 2020 election. And for Ken Buck to sit there and try to say that there were no Democrat shenanigans and to try to raise
that. And that the persecution of people who were doing nothing on January 6th is just, you know, to criticize that is to criticize the Republic and the party of, you know, poor Ronald Reagan. Why did he get, I mean, probably Lincoln too, but Ronald Reagan, wait a minute, I hated this guy.
Well, I mean, that's just going to walk through. So he's trashing him and it's not even true, right? Again, no one can reasonably argue that there was nothing, shenanigans going on in the 2020 election. You just can't, even the RNC acknowledges that and say, we have to ballot harvest too, right? Yeah. We have to, okay. So we know that. So that was a lie.
And the sucker box and the, you know, they're up.
I mean, even if you look at stuff that isn't illegal, there were certainly shenanigans, right? And so to
no one believes he really got 81 million votes, 10 more million than
for Ken Buck to try to say it. The latest is now the Department of Justice, rather than going after Hamas or I don't know, terrorists that they're allowing into the country, are basically right now using geofencing to go round up and get arrest warrants for people who were just at the rally on January 6th.
Yeah.
So they're arresting people who were simply at the rally. So how can you say that there's no persecution, right? How can you say the Department of Justice hasn't been weaponized? I mean, they've let Biden go free, Biden's son go free. We've had whistleblower after whistleblower
after whistleblower. It harms our trust in government. No kidding, Ken. Really?
And it's
really
like,
to mistrust each other. Really? Yeah, it does, Ken.
It's like insane, right? And so Ken Buck spends all this time trashing Republicans on MSNBC and even manages to annoy other rhinos. Dick Wadhams, right?
Dick Wadhams doesn't like Ken Buck. When you lose Dick Wadhams, you lost everything.
Yes. And I think we have Trent Lisey with us now. Trent, are you there? I see he joined. I see his picture. He's joining us. Okay. Just come up. There we go. There we go. Trump Lisey, who has announced before you were going
to. Unbeknownst to Colorado politics.
Yeah, I have to tell you this. So Colorado politics, and I tweeted out at Colorado politics, hello, there's one person who's actually announced, so that's Trent Lisey. But just, you should get on that. They leave your name off again in their second repeated.
Oh, you don't want to be.
Yes.
What's very cool is, so I call you to say, hey, can you come on our show? And you're like, okay, I'm on my way to Mar-a-Lago. I'm like, what? So the first question is what's going on in Mar-a-Lago? And then we'll get you to talk about your campaign.
Yeah, so Dinesh D'Souza invited us down there to his premiere of Police State.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to go on tonight in Mar-a-Lago. So it's going to be a packed house. There's going to be tons and tons of people there that have already reached out to me who have said, hey, I'm going to be there. Let's connect, because this whole Ken Buck thing has blown up nationally pretty big. So
that's a good sign, huh? I mean, I was going to say, you happen to be landing, I imagine, in the right place at the right time to talk.
Maybe get an endorsement while you're down there.
Well, he's in Dallas. He just left for Dallas for 2 days of fundraising, but you know, hey, we'll be back again soon here. So we're already working on our other trip planned here. So we're hoping.
What is sort of the scuttlebutt? I mean, again, it's one thing to be primarying somebody and primarying a sitting congressperson seeking their sixth term. Right. Yeah, that's tough. But now it's a wide open field. You are, as far as I know, the only candidate who's declared.
They say that half of whatever remains.
Chuck is running too.
I'm running. Yeah, so I decided to get in the race. We're up here in Westminster, but no.
Yeah,
but half of 710 CAN US seems to be, you know, thinking about throwing his or her hat into the race.
You know, I've had a lot of people reach out today, throwing out different names of people who they think are going to jump in the race. Some who live in CD4 and some who don't live in CD4. And ultimately, I'm just focused on my race. We'll take this one day at a time. Our grassroots effort has just been incredible in the counties, and we're already setting up meetings and things within all the counties here to get out and really connect and meet with the people. So I'm welcome to anybody who wants to join. Let's run a fair and fair campaign and
well, they won't do that.
No, politics. But you know, like,
what you're facing, of course, is a Barb Kirkmeyer faction of
the rhinos.
Yeah, and they'll put up somebody with Holtorf or who knows who else.
Campania wants to run.
You know, again?
Yeah, Heidi Gnall. They're the names: Richard Holtorf, Deborah Flora, Mike Lynch, Jerry Sonnenberg, Laura Thomas. And again, I'm just going to
criticize
Mickey Mouse. But that's, I think, it's probably what it's going to come down to. Do you suppose it'll be a grassroots person, you, and then probably a rhino, right?
Probably. I mean, look, I think it's going to be a tough primary season. I think that, you know, this is going to be a very heavy watched race in this district. Yes. But I believe that there's nobody else that could jump in this race who's more America first than I am. So it's really going to be hard for somebody on that agenda to jump in and say they're more likable or they're more America first than me. It'll probably be me up against a rhino. And I think at the end of the day, the people here in this district and congressional district 4, they don't want a rhino. That's why Ken Buck's not running again. So, you know, it'll be somebody who's on the ground, walking the streets, door knocking, you know, who really believes that they are more important than, you know, those outside of the United States.
Let me ask
I think you're going to find out that the way they do this, and they're pretty good about it, is the rhinos will put up somebody.
Some fake people.
A fake
grassroots.
America first, couple fake people first, and then, but clear out the field for the one rhino there.
Mm-hmm.
But are you sort of forewarned is forearmed, so to speak, about that, do you think? I mean, you know they're going to do that, and so...
Yeah, well, I mean, we're already preparing for it. I mean, my team's already preparing for it. You know, we've been preparing for it for a while. You know, just, you know, a lot of these names are ones that came to my mind before today in terms of people who are, you know, considering or thinking. But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, the folks that don't live in CD4, they're going to have a really hard time convincing voters in CD4 to vote for them when they're not even representing them in the district.
Right.
And then it's really going to come down to those who live in CD4, you know, how likable they're going to be. And I know some of the folks that are thrown in their names or the names are being thrown out there are ones who they don't really have a great record in the state. And so, you know, they voted with Democrats at the state house, you know, they've not really pushed back on the policies the Democrats have been putting forth through our state legislature and signed by the governor. So it's going to be really hard for somebody coming out of the state legislature to run for this race. So, you know, we'll see. And we'll see what rhino they put up against me, and we're ready to go toe to toe.
Let me, one more question for you, because I know we got to let you go to your big gala event. But I mean, I think it couldn't have been any more fortuitous, right? Like you said, it's national news. Money is a factor. You're at Mar-a-Lago, where there are people who agree with you philosophically, who have the money to help do something about it. I mean, I imagine this trip couldn't have come at a better time for you.
You know, and it's funny because our plane was delayed about an hour and a half, and we were all like, oh, we got to get to Mar-a-Lago. Like, this is frustrating. But then as we were sitting there, boom, this hit.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, okay, well, that's God's work in hand. And that's the way it was supposed to be. And that's okay. And we'll be there. We'll still be there tonight. But, you know, this couldn't have hit it in a better time because we were able to catch it right away and really start pushing it out. And it's been picked up, you know, across the country and folks sharing it and lending support. And, you know, I've got media people calling me and people that do fundraisers that said, hey, I'm in West Palm Beach, come meet with me tomorrow. So, you know, this is going to be a great campaign season. We're looking forward to it.
And in Colorado, you're going to have at least 3 closely watched races.
Yes.
You're going to get CD8, which is, you know, certainly a pickup, and
CD3.
And so it'll be pretty hot and heavy here in Colorado.
All right. Well,
I mean, Lauren Boebert's going to have a tough race, but I do believe, she'll ultimately be victorious in that race. And, we're in CD8, we were close. I mean, 1,500 votes, I think, is what it was. And we're close. I mean, it's just going to take the right candidate that can really speak to the Latino community and talk about the nuclear family and how important it is. And I think on that issue, they'll win. So,
well, I'll tell you what's another crucial one in that one. And I don't know if it's also true for you, but, Dave Williams has made a pact with the Libertarian Party. They would not run candidates as long as we ran candidates who were, on the right side of the political spectrum. And I think you shouldn't have any problem getting the support of the Libertarians not to run somebody. And in CD8, which is really the difference, it was having a Libertarian candidate. You have people like Gabe Evans, who is, about as right, he tries to hide his rhino roots, but not very well. and it's going to be fascinating.
It will be. I mean, there's two Republicans in there now, Scott James, and as you said, Gabe Evans. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speak ill of any one of those two. I just hope that there's an American First candidate that steps up and really represents the Latino community, because that's really in that district important, because it is heavily weighed on that. So.
All right.
I think we can. We still have an opportunity in that race. So,
all right. Well, Trent, listen, I know I promised we'd get you off quick, because you just got literally just walked off the plane.
You need to go party.
Yeah. Thank you for making time for us.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll be in touch afterwards. So,
okay. Thank you, sir. All right.
Trent,
thank you.
I wonder if Ken Buck was going to go down in something called police state. I don't think so.
Ken Buck. Yeah. I don't think he's been down here before. I don't know if he'll show his face ever. So
you could be right.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Trent.
Care. Yes.
Right. Trent Lisey there. It was pretty. Can you imagine what if he had actually gotten on the plane and then this hit? He would have gotten off the plane. He would have had like 8 million. His phone would be going thing, right? Yeah. So if you're just joining us, that was Trent Lisey. Ken Buck today announced that he is not going to be seeking re-election, and then went on to trash Republicans.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
the reason he's not receiving, he's not. I mean, he sounds just like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney.
He does sound exactly like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney, and he's the same ilk and it's so sad because, I've known Ken Buck 20 years, I guess. No more from his 2010 run. He's an affable, kind of a good guy. But, man, he talk about, I don't know. Taking the crazy pill.
Yeah, Chuck, is that the opinion just went crazy? And there's been a lot of talk, right? First, apparently he was kind of somewhat openly talking about wanting to get a CNN or MSNBC job. Then,
but that doesn't occupy you very much.
No.
I mean, you come on some panel and you trash Republicans for Democrats.
Maybe so often, yeah.
Yeah, but
he doesn't want to work that hard anymore. He has been in Congress, though, so yeah.
You don't work that hard in Congress.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't have to.
It's not like he's been... But then he said, no, I'm definitely in. And then we had all the nonsense.
Yeah, I knew that because all the staff was resigning as fast as they could.
Oh, that's probably a good point. It's kind of screws them.
Yeah.
But then he writes that horrible, misleading, disinformation letter after Colorado Republican leaders write a letter asking the legislator, their representatives, to support justice for some of the January 6th defendants. And he just puts stuff that's just flat out not true in that letter and doesn't care. After people point out it's not true, he still keeps repeating it. Then he in his resignation little notice, he said, the Republican leadership, and he's talking about Comer. I think he's talking about Johnson. He's talking about everybody, yeah. Right? Is spreading lies about the election. It's like, no, they're not, Ken. And so, he's got to know that what he's saying is a lie. So, is he just crazy or is he trying to cater to MSNBC?
One thing I have to say about him, unlike Cory Gardner, who was also representing the 4th Congressional District for a while, he is not going to get a lobbying job because everybody hates him.
Yeah.
This is Ken Buck. Bam.
Except for Dr. Donna, at least Ken thought we have had the gold standard in Colorado voting from Jim. Buck is just a swamp rat. That's true. And Dr. Donna says perhaps Alzheimer's. But yeah, he's coherent enough. So, but yeah, I don't know why. Well, let's go back to when you annoy Dick Wadhams, a fellow rhino. Yeah. I mean, Dick Wadhams in the Colorado Politics article is sharply critical, saying he's broken tradition. It's like everyone else who announces they're not going to run for reelection goes back to the district, right? To the people who sent them there, has a nice little...
Well, but Catherine, of all of Ken Buck's sins, not coming back to the district is not the biggest one.
Well, no.
But Dick Wadhams has to find some reason to criticize him because he knows that everybody in the party hates him. So he can't be left out of the party. He says, he didn't come back to the district.
Well, but what he says is somewhat true, though. It's like it's a complete sign of disrespect to the district. I mean, now my guess is Ken Buck is never coming back to Colorado again.
Oh, he's going to your high school football game. He said he was at the grocery store. Yeah, you bet he will be.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, first, the high school football season is almost over right now, so he doesn't have much time.
Well, he's talking about in future.
No, in the future. Yeah. He's never coming back. And to burn that kind of those kind of bridges, because I think if you are some of the people in the district who have worked hard for him as volunteers and things
Steve
like
Reams
that.
Steve Reams is one of those. I mean, right. I mean, even Steve Reams said, no, my God, you know, how can anybody support this guy?
Right. And again, why not just keep your mouth shut? Right. Instead, he's like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney. He's going out trashing the Republicans as much as possible, which is not going to endear him to anybody. And maybe he wants the job on MSNBC. I mean, it is interesting that rather than going back to the district, rather than going on CNN or Fox or anything like that, or just making the announcement, right, he makes it on MSNBC. But I do think it's just, I think it is fortuitous that Trent Lisey, the only announced candidate, is actually on his way to Mar-a-Lago, where there's like a bazillion, because money is going to matter in this race, right? There's a bazillion, there's a bazillion money people there.
Right.
And I think, well, let me go through some of the names, but I do want to point out again, if you read Colorado Politics, and I like Ernest Lunning, I mean, he's always treated us pretty fairly, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't even mention the one person who's announced. And then he rewrites it because he wrote the original story and all these people called up and said, hey, I might be considering too, right? Yeah. So he includes them. And once again, doesn't include the one grassroots Republican person. So here are the names they're talking about. Gino Campana.
Gino Campana ran for governor?
Yes. And at the assembly, he didn't get it. He had a fairly, didn't he, isn't he the one that had Kellyanne Conway? Was his consultant?
I don't know.
I think so, but he's a businessman, right? Yeah. And so he has some money there. George Brockner's name has come up.
I just don't think he can get elected.
I don't think so either. I think he wants to be the district attorney in the new judicial district right? Richard Holtrop, who is
famous for his buckwheat comment in the legislature, who's part of the Weld County Rhino group.
So. Right. And he actually, although he's pretending like he's not.
Yeah, he pretends he's not.
But I think he's the one. And then Mike Lynch, who's the minority leader.
And he's a rhino.
Right. So those are the two people. Deborah Flora.
I don't see how she gets it.
I'm not sure that she actually lives in the district.
I don't know.
Do you know? To be honest, I'm not sure. Laura Thomas, she's a county commissioner in Douglas County. I like Laura.
But she's got a lot of baggage.
Jerry Sonnenberger.
He's got a lot.
But he doesn't live in the district either, right? I think he's from Logan. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. And then Heidi Ganahl. I'm not sure. Heidi lives in Westminster, I think.
Not Westminster, that's where we live.
I know. I think Heidi Ganahl lives in the same city. But I'm not sure. But I'm not sure she lives there either. And I don't know that Heidi has floated that. I just wonder if she's just a name that kind of comes up. Do you know what I mean? But of all of those, I mean, I would give Trent right now by far and away the lead.
It's not even close.
Why do you say that?
Because, we had a pretty honest and frank discussion about his views on everything from the opt-out to everything, and he scored 100%. None of those other people would score 50% in most cases. It's great that he's running. I wish he had more name recognition, but he's getting it. If that's the field he's running against, there's no MAGA people and then other than himself.
Right. Well, and he has already a very sophisticated campaign.
Yeah.
Very sophisticated.
He's already
campaign.
On the ground. He's already working hard. And so
he's got sophisticated websites. So you can go to it. It's, I think, Trent Lisey. If you just Google it, you can find it. And I think that the other, I think a big thing is money, right? I don't think any of those other people, I guess I'm going to say, have access to the kind of money.
Well, maybe Heidi Ganahl would.
Heidi Ganahl? Mm-hmm. Although, look how much she was outspending the governor's race, though.
Well, I know, but in a primary, she's still got, you know,
maybe
more contacts with people.
Right. But I think you're right. The big thing he's going to have to watch out for is whoever the eventual Rhino candidate becomes, yes. Right? They're going to run a couple of people, not these names. I don't think you're going to see these names. They're going to run some kind of candidate you never heard of. Who
Waldorf, you know, doesn't come across as a Rhino, but he is. So he might be good to put in there by them so they can. And then, right, then running Mike Lynch or some other just grotesque.
Right. Person. And that's what they're going to do. I don't know. Have the Democrats, do they have an announced candidate?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, this to a certain extent, if you're the Democrats, this is kind of good news too, right? It's hard to run against.
Not really.
Not great.
It's a pretty safe Republican district.
Okay. Let's see. This is, okay. Please spell Trent's last name for the audience. So, okay. So it's Trent. T-R-E-N-T, and his last name, it's pronounced Leisy, and it's spelled L-E-I-S-Y. So Google him, Trent, L-E-I-S-Y. He's got a pretty good website up there. He's very all over the place, and they're clearly promoting it on Twitter, mm-hmm. right? And again, it just cracked me up, and he goes, I'm about to get on the plane to Mar-a-Lago, mm-hmm. but I should be there in time. This is from Dr. Donna. Gina will run on his Italian family roots. He did that before, right?
And not terribly successful.
Well, I think, you know, again, he clearly admitted, because I'm pretty sure I'm right. I think Kellyanne Conway was there at the assembly.
Was it for Gina?
I think it was for Gina. If anybody knows, correct me if I'm wrong there. And so that means, obviously, you know, I think what hurt him is no one had ever heard of him before, right?
Well, I'm not sure that many people know him now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, nobody knows him now. He ran the assembly, so they're like roughly 400 people who know, well, more than that, but you know what I mean. But I don't think he has any bigger name recognition. So okay, we're going to switch gears now, because I see we have our guests with her. Oh, okay. Dr. Donna says I think that's correct. Gina was our county chair. So we have John Grabowski and Bill Rutledge, who had reached out to us. They're with the Colorado Convention of States. And guys, if you want to go ahead and you can unmute yourself and turn your cameras on and pop on up on Zoom if you want. There we go.
There I am. All Hi. Right.
And you, which one are, who are you, Bill or John?
I'm John.
I'm John. Okay, John.
Okay, and then Bill, you can come on too. There's room for all. There we go.
There it is.
Am I there? I'm here.
And you know, I'll just ask a question to whichever one of you wants to answer it. So you are with the Colorado Convention of States. I'm going to start out real basically. What is that, and what are you guys trying to do?
Okay, I'll take the lead on this. I will give you my elevator speech here in 30 seconds. I want to start out with a quote from Abraham Lincoln, because we get accused of all kinds of things with the Constitution. But he said, we the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. And so I kind of like to summarize our purpose is to get rid of the perverts in Washington who are distorting our Constitution. Convention of States, elevator speech, okay? COS is a national, highly organized movement to enable citizens, we the people, to regain individual sovereignty from an increasingly tyrannical, totalitarian federal government. We are advocating for a convention of states as authorized by Article 5 of the Constitution. You want me to stop? Do you have a Article 5?
No, that's good. Keep going. Okay.
Now, Article 5, small paragraph. It enables the states to pass a resolution to call a convention to propose specific amendments to the Constitution. Now, the only other organization that can propose amendments to the Constitution is the U.S. Congress. Most people don't know that the state legislatures can call a convention to propose amendments if 34 of the states, pass the resolution, okay? And it's got to be the same resolution.
Okay.
And now the amendments that we're calling for are the most popular: term limits for Congress and federal officials, imposing fiscal restraints on Congress and reducing the size and power of the federal government. So three types of amendments. We are not trying to rewrite either the Second or the 19th Amendment. Okay, we've been accused of both. Any amendments passed in such a state convention would still have to be sent for ratification by the states, and 38 states have to ratify it for it to become law, part of the Constitution. Let me stop there. That's what we're all about.
So how many states have passed this resolution so far?
Oh, well, I could not have planned that better. Thank you. Currently 19 states. We've been in business 10 years. We've got 19 states. They passed the resolution, both houses of their legislatures. However, we have two more, North Carolina and Kansas, who have passed it in both houses of their state legislatures. But there are legal, technical protocols they have to go through in order to actually become official. So I count that as 21. And just to round out the inventory here, seven states have passed the resolution in one house. And then we, in 17 other states, we have active COS legislation, including here in Colorado.
Well, let me, Bill, then ask you, I mean, what are the, you know, the only
well,
way.
Well, let me ask, why is it 34? That's kind of a strange number.
It's got to be two-thirds. It's a two-thirds requirement to call it, but it's a three-quarters requirement to ratify.
Gotcha.
So, Bill, in Colorado, though, I mean, you know, you got
no chance.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, what's your thinking or what's your strategy in Colorado to kidnap Jared Polis? Or no, I'm kidding, but
no. The task at hand, really, for us at this point in time, is to educate the public, the citizenry, of their rights, and in this case, their right and their power through the use of this tool. Article 5, to change some things, try to make some effort to change some things, which I think we're all feeling need to be addressed as we look at the whole situation day to day. We've done numerous, this past year particularly, we've done numerous different things, like at the state fair, we were down there and had a booth. And we would ask people, and every time I'd ask somebody, have you ever heard of the term convention of states? It was the deer in the headlight look. It was like, no, we don't. What is this about? And so we would chat to them about what it is if they took a moment with us. And the idea was to just inform them that this is what they can do. And we invited them to sign our petition. And we got over 1,000 petitions signed at the Colorado State Fair in the August-September timeframe. And this is what we're trying to do to inform them. Because every time they go and they sign the petition, their legislator in their district will be informed of their interest in this subject. The numbers add up. So the greater the numbers, I guess overall, the greater attention the legislator will take and make on this issue.
Let me ask you guys, let me interrupt and ask you this, though, because and just to let our audience know, too, there are some people who are against this and they had contacted us, too. And I think we're going to try to have them on. So we'll have everybody can make up their own mind. But one question, it seems to me, is this sort of a Pandora's box? In other words, I would agree with the amendments that you're suggesting, but what's to prevent, you know, the sneaky Democrats from putting in something and getting, you know, other amendments passed? I mean, that would be.
Right. Thank you for that question. We get it all the time. There are three safeguards. And one is in the resolution itself, the term limits, fiscal restraints, and limiting the federal government. That's the resolution. Okay. Secondly, remember, anything that gets proposed has to be ratified by 38 states. I don't know if you know the history, but in our 247 years, we've had 4,000 amendments proposed to the Constitution. And how many have made it? 27. So there's but thirdly, and most people don't know this, of the 19 states that have ratified it, 12 of them have passed what we call delegate legislation or companion legislation that says very specifically here's how we select, appoint, and charge. Tell them what they can do and can't do. And fourthly, how do we hold them accountable? I've read several of those pieces of legislation, and some of the penalties for becoming rogue and not staying with your commission, your charge, is jail. Yeah. And I don't know how to get more serious in appointing delegates than saying, if you don't stick with this, we're going to, 90 days in the county jail. So those are the three major safeguards, regardless of what our opponents and our critics say.
Okay.
Well, let me bring up the one that I've seen on the left. They're saying, after you get the 34, but Congress must call it. And they say, well, in Congress can set the terms of what you can do and not do. Because as we found out with our wonderful courts, the left will
just rule whatever they want to.
Yeah.
Right. That's a very good question. Congress is, and this has been vetted by constitutional scholars and lawyers, they get to do two things: where and when, and within a reasonable time. It passes, okay. When? How about next month? Where? Pick it. And that's Congress gets to do.
That's all Congress can do. Unfortunately, as we've seen in these indictments on Trump, or the fact that they reinterpret the 14th Amendment, Section 3,
right.
They don't really care if they can do it or not, as long as they can get a judge to say it's right, and then they control the procedures. So there's some fear of that. And the other thing that I think people historically remember is that the French Revolution was started when they called the Estates General, which could be, in some sense, a convention of states or a type of, where they evolved the states, and then it went wild. So there's always that fear also.
Agreed. I think both of those are very, very, I don't think there's much chance at all of either of those two things. I mean, but in particular, Congress tried to pull a fast one. We have very, very good legal staff nationally and constitutional scholars. We'd be at the Supreme Court in a minute on it.
Let me ask you this. So we know, and again, there, just to make it clear, there are arguments against this, and we'll have those folks on too. But I would, back to what you guys are trying to do, because I want to give you guys a fair chance to explain yours. I would think that given the unpopularity of this president, given the current economic situation, given, as Chuck has said, what we've seen the courts or the Department of Justice, the FBI do, and whoever wants to answer this, I would think that this is something that, because we've heard about this for a long time, that there would be, are you seeing more support for this kind of idea?
Thank you again. Not quite 3 years ago, propitious date, 3 years ago, we had about 42,000 petition signers in the state of Colorado. We have close to 54,000 now. Wow. That's significant growth. Now, we've done a lot of grassroots activity to get those, but Biden has been our best publicity. He has. I will tell you that it was what Bill was talking about. We don't have any money. We're not allowed to campaign for candidates, okay? However, the more petitions we have signed, that's our currency. Now, I'm legislative liaison to the legislature. That's a fancy name for the lobbyist. I can tell you that I don't have money, but if I go into that legislator's office and say, hey, you have roughly 47,000 voters in your, I'm talking about a House district, and only about 60% of them vote. And guess what? I've got 1,600 petition signers in your district. And here they are. By the way, we got pages of them. Here are the petition signers. 2-3% of the people that show up to vote, that makes a difference. They can swing an election. And that's one of the leverages that I use when I talk to them, both Democrat and Republican. We're nonpartisan. But the other thing is, we've got term limits in this state. We've had them for 32 years? Nobody's ever tried to reverse them. And secondly, we have table. We have ostensibly a balanced budget law in this state. And the question I keep asking our distinguished legislators is, why do you guys operate under that, but your buddies in D.C. get a free ride?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why not?
Well,
why not
think, those principles? I would think that the exploding deficit of increasing trillions every year would be a great selling point, because your second one is basically some form of a balanced budget, similar to what Colorado has. And it seems that there's no ability, whether it's Republicans are in there or Democrats are in there, to stop the enormous debt bomb. And quite frankly, that is what happened in France in 1789. Mm-hmm. There was an exploding of spending, and in order to get approval, they had to get approval of the upper classes to tax themselves. So I would think that this enormous debt threat is a great
selling point.
Very much so for those who care about it. You know, there's so many that they ignore it and they don't think it's a big deal. Those are the really tough ones. I will tell you that because you're asking the right question. How are we making out in the legislature? 2 years ago, we introduced the resolution in the House. It barely got to some debate in the committee, and then it got killed in committee right at the end of the session.
Yeah.
Last year, we introduced it into the Senate, the five members on the committee that it was referred to, and it got killed in committee 3-2 along party lines. However, we had 20 of our supporters give testimony in support of it, which was a win. And guess what? We're going to introduce it in the House again this session. And I intend to have 150 people there giving testimony in support of it. We're not going to go away. We're playing the long game. Ideally, 2024, that election will make a big difference. You know, it's interesting. Privately, because I don't have any Democrat supporters. They're all Republican. Okay. Right. And I'm the first to admit that. But I have some of them who admit to me privately, you know, I kind of agree with those first two term limits and the spending. But, you know, my party will not allow me, will not allow me to support. And then I lose support. And I said, OK, I hear you, but at least I appreciate you being honest and giving me the feedback, because you're right. Your historical perspective is wonderful. You know, back to the French Revolution, you're reminding me, you know. So we are making progress. We ain't going to go away. We have a very, very organized state team, as well as dozens of volunteers. And this past year, we gained a lot of visibility just with grassroots activities. And in fact, this is the third one of these that we're doing in 3 months. 2 years ago, I was only dreaming about getting on the radio or a podcast. So I appreciate this opportunity from the two of you. I really do.
It's important, you know, and I think one of the things we try to say in the show, I mean, you know, we're grassroots. Everybody who listens to us knows where we come from. But on something like this, I think there are two sides. And I
really don't think there are. The vast majority of grassroots people support it. Certainly term limits, although I don't think it's made any improvement in Colorado. The ones that are really, the ones if we had a balanced budget thing, if we had limitation on federal powers, you know, I mean, that would be tremendous. Just like in Colorado, you know, it'd be perverted, just like Tabor has been, and credit. But that would really make a huge difference. And I think grassroots overwhelm. And then there are always some people who, you know, too many angels on the head of a pin. But what is the most purple state that you've gotten in the 19 or 21?
Oh, gosh, that's tough for me to answer, because, you know, it took us 10 years and we do have 19 states. And
so things have changed. Yeah.
Some of those, the shades have changed. You know, we got a pastel pink instead of a purple. It's hard for me to say that, but
well, give me some that could be considered more.
Could be. Well, you know, Ohio hasn't passed it, but they're working on it very, very hard. We've had, North Carolina, which is still waiting to make it official. That was not a walk in the park.
No,
that took 3-4 years of really hard work there. You know, it's interesting when you look at the map, you know, the whole southern part of the country
come
up, and it it follows the electoral map. I mean, it really does. But we've had some great successes, especially in the last 2 years. Five of those 19, actually out of the 21, five of them happened in the last 2 years. So the momentum has really picked up.
Which states are those?
Let's see. We had West Virginia, South Carolina. Was it Wisconsin? And then, of course, North Carolina and Kansas are the two that aren't official yet, but they've got it passed in both houses of their legislature.
All right, we've got to give a question for your cohort.
good. Get him.
Yes.
You always got to be a good listener.
he's right about that.
So the national level, and Bill, I get that because you're a Coloradan, right? And you're kind of involved in the local thing. I mean, who can you talk about which legislators you're working with or? And then also just an open-ended question, too. If people want to find out more about what's going on in Colorado, where can they go?
Good one.
Yeah. I'll tell you this is that John has worked up his crew has worked up a list of legislators that we're working with. And we're also focusing on to identify them as individuals that we need to really get people below in their districts on board to let them know that we support and that they support this whole initiative. It's an uphill battle for us to get the legislators because of the blue red volume, if you will. And so we've identified those Democratic, if you will, legislators that we've got to focus on. And in particular, those that are involved on the committees.
Okay.
We have to the resolution and the putting it out there through the committee. Someone on those committees has to get through committee vote first.
Yeah.
Before it'll ever get to the House floor. So that's the dynamic. We didn't get it out of committee last year on the votes that happened. So we have to keep working on them first.
All steps, basically.
And then also informing and educating the rest of the legislators, both in the House and the Senate, about the issue and about this whole proposal. And so we do have a proposal. We're working on it right now through our Veterans Coalition here, particularly. We're coming up with a letter writing campaign in order to inform the individuals' desires in this, and it makes a much more a greater impact if a legislator gets a piece of mail, a letter in their hands in lieu of an email or a text message, that kind of case. So we know the value of that, and John mentioned earlier about if he comes in, you know, on the 10th of January or shortly thereafter and says, here they are, we've got this many different letters. And particularly the veterans, one of the committees in the House, I think it is, correct me if I'm wrong, John, it is the Veterans Committee.
State Civic Military and Veterans Affairs Committee,
Veterans Affairs, both houses. That's an official kill committee, isn't it?
Pardon me?
It's a kill committee. It's where the Speaker of the House.
You're too knowledgeable. Yes. It is, as I learned last year.
Before Chuck, that's a downer. Where can people go to get more information about this? Bill, where can they go?
You can visit conventionofstates.com, and there you open up into the big site. You can get into CS in Colorado also, and you can download, you can purchase information of different booklets and things of that nature. I have it, for example, you can get a pocket guide that has a lot of good information in it. And then you can also sign the petition right there. Once you've read what you're reading, and if you support what we support in regards to what we're driving for, you can take the initiative right now. The key thing I think I'd like to say from my standpoint is my observations is that we just didn't get here in this country today. It's taken a long time, and it's unfortunate, in my opinion, that apathy has played a lot into this.
Yeah,
the public, you know, when I was younger, it was like Yeah, I don't want to get into politics. That's a dirty business. Let somebody else do it. Well, and that's true in many regards. But now's the time. If people aren't getting fed up with what they're doing, here's a tool. Right. If we don't do it, who will?
Right.
All right.
We get what we get if we're not involved. And so this is an opportunity for those who have an interest. Take the time. Time is now.
Yeah.
Yes. Get involved. Take a stand. Get off the fence. Choose, because we truly are in a situation, as I see it through my different research. This is a time of good and evil, very, very distinctly. And I'd like to share this too. Our whole organization is based on our faith in God, and we come from that, and we rely on that, and that is where our hope lies.
All right.
But we need to have people that want to take initiative and make a difference.
Thanks so much for coming on, you guys.
Amen. The show is over. So.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Appreciate it.
It's a conventionofstates.com.
Conventionofstates.com.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. All right.
Take care. Bye now.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, John Grabowski, Bill Rutledge. I want to thank Trent Lisey for calling in from Mar-a-Lago. There'll be a lot more, obviously, on the whole Ken Buck thing. On Friday, we have Dick Morris. Is coming on.
All right.
Dick Morris has a book out about the Biden family corruption. So he'll be on the show on Friday. Thank you once again to everyone.
Appreciate it.
To Thomas, and we'll see everybody on Party Friday.
Cool.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.